Before the Rain is one of the foreign films nominated for an Academy Award. The film is set in England and the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. Observers of the Balkan War say there's a danger the conflict may spread south to Macedonia. In fact, the U.S. is considering sending more military observers there. The director of Before the Rain, Milcho Manchevski, grew up in Macedonia, but moved to the United States to attend film school in the late 70s. On a trip home in 1991, as Yugoslavia was crumbling, he decided to make a film about the premonition of war and the choices ordinary people must make in extraordinary situations. That film, Before the Rain, broke all box office records in Macedonia and won the Golden Lion Award at the Venice Film Festival. Fresh Air producer Naomi Person spoke to Milcho Manchevski and asked him to describe the film.
It's three stories. The first story is about a young monk who's taken a vow of silence and who finds this Albanian girl in his cell, and then he's sucked into a local conflict where he has to hide her and defend her, and then things happen from there. The second story is about a photo editor in an agency in London who's torn between her husband, her safe husband, and her lover, who's a bit off the wall, and who is a war photographer. And then the third story is about a war photographer who comes home because he spent all his life taking pictures of people's misery. So he wants to leave the war behind, but it follows him home. And now he has to take a stand, take a moral stand, make a decision, take a side. It was a story about expectations, about when there's something in the air and you know something big is going to happen. And this something could be cleansing, could be really good, could open new perspectives, or it could be terrible, it could be deadly and dangerous.
I'm curious about scenes in your film where people do die.
Mm-hmm.
I usually have a really hard time with violence in movies, but there was something quite beautiful, I thought, about the way you allowed people to die in your film. I don't know if that's a perverse thought on my part.
No.
But I'm curious what you did or what you drew from.
First of all, I mean, it doesn't happen all of a sudden. It doesn't. You're not just shot and then dead. It takes a while. A lot of victims, a lot of people who get shot, unless the heart or the brain are hit, it takes them a long time to die. So if you want to deal with some dimension of realism, you need to deal with this. You need to show it. I mean, you don't have to show a person dying on camera for 25 minutes, but this is something that you have to draw upon. So all of these people, it takes them a while to die. And it's not a heroic act. It's not a legendary, mythical, whatever you want to call it, act. It's just like you're coughing while you're dying, and you could be funny while you're dying, and you try to say something, but you stutter. It could be pathetic and comical at the same time, and ultimately it's sad. Even though beyond that sadness, there's a new life. Somebody else goes on.
Many of us, and most of us listening, can indulge in the luxury of distancing ourselves from a lot of the wars that are taking place in the world at this time. And sometimes I feel like I don't know how to absorb it all. You know, it's the wars are changing. There are countries that oftentimes have not been familiar with. You want to learn about them. You want to absorb the situation. I'm wondering, how do you absorb it? How do you process it all?
You don't. You just don't. It happens to you, or it happens to your sister or to your cousin, and it's just there, and you get angry about it, and you try to do something about it. You go out and you burn down someone else's house, and you continue the circle, but I don't think you really understand what is happening, and I don't think you can really absorb it. At least I couldn't, and a lot of people whom I know who were involved in this war still don't quite understand it. I don't think the the data and the information help you deal. I don't think they make you understand what is really happening, because it's really irrational. It's like getting more and more data about human behavior or about dreaming. And I mean, you can have all the data in the world, you're still not going to crack the Zen essence of it. So I don't know. I mean, just violence and violence on such a large scale when there's peace everywhere else in the world is completely surreal.
In the film, there is a section where there's a woman who works in a photo agency and her lover, who's this photojournalist, and you use a lot of real photos of war victims. Some of these photographs are photographs that one might even be familiar with because some of them were in newspapers. There's a photo of an emaciated prisoner of war, of women in a graveyard, of a child who's been, I believe, killed.
Yeah, they were all from Bosnia. Well, from ex-Yugoslavia, I think some were from Croatia, but mainly from Bosnia. Mm-hmm. That is our only link to reality. Everything else is acted and staged.
In these photographs, they are very moving. And I'm wondering if there was something that you saw in the victims' eyes or on their faces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All the time.
What was that?
I don't know. I mean, discussing it, trying to verbalize it and to give it a personal mark is sort of embarrassing. It's like if you're a child and then someone asks you to... someone catches you watching pornography and then you have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I was told that in one of the photographs that you use in the film, there's one that was staged, I believe.
Three, actually.
Oh, okay.
But they're a triptych. One comes out of the other.
Right. And I believe it's somebody who is getting shot.
Right. Right. And it's an execution, a point-blank execution, which in this film, in the story, our main character, Alexander, sort of caused with his own, just because he needed a good picture. He started complaining to the militiaman and he said, "Oh, no problem, here, I'll give you one." And he shoots a guy in front of his camera. Mm-hmm. And Alex takes those pictures and that haunts him for the rest of his life.
And I understand that you are that person who's being shot.
Yeah, I was.
Why did you do that?
Well, I can give you a fancy answer, like an homage to Hitchcock or something. Mm-hmm. Or I can tell you that we ran out of extras on that day because the budget was very tight. So it was just the simplest thing to do at that point.
Uh-huh. How did it feel?
Very matter-of-factly, it was. We had our lunch break and we had to have those photographs for the next day. So our unit photographer was going to take the pictures, go back and process them and stuff. It felt a little awkward because it was a real gun pointed. It was like a few inches from my head. And our armor from Bulgaria was very much, he got carried away by the part, so he kept shooting in my head. We repeated it a few times, and most of the pictures were blurry, but they did the job.
Mm-hmm. Did it weird you out to see them in the film and to keep working with them as you were editing the film?
No. I it's a nice provocation, I think.
Mm-hmm. You're well adjusted.
Our guest is Milcho Manchevsky, director of the new film Before the Rain. Back after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're featuring an interview with Milcho Manchevsky, director of Before the Rain. He's speaking with Fresh Air producer Naomi Person.
I'm wondering if it felt dangerous for you making the film in Macedonia. The actor who plays Alexander is a Serbian who lived in exile from Croatia, and there had been threats on his life at one time.
Right. That's Rade Šerbedžija, who plays the part of Alexander. Well, the threats and the danger that he felt, all of that happened outside of Macedonia, funny enough. Mm-hmm. It happened in Croatia, where he spent all his life, and in Serbia, where he moved afterwards, because he's Serbian. I don't know. I mean, I guess for people who came to Macedonia for the first time, it must have felt a little awkward, maybe a little eerie, because there was a war just over the mountains or a couple hundred miles away. I was too absorbed in the process to think of the danger. For me, we had the danger of the completion bond company pulling the plug, because we couldn't insure the film. The war insurance was practically as high as the entire budget of the film. They gave us five scenarios of how war could start in Macedonia while we were shooting this film, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So in the end, everyone who came there, the entire crew and parts of the cast that who came from the UK and from France and from other parts of Europe to work there, they, after about a week or two, they relaxed. I mean, it felt sort of like Jamaica without the sea, which is one of the contrasts that I'm interested in, maybe in the next film, if there is a next film. It's just that that sense of the war being over the mountain, yet here you're having more fun than people in the village are going to have.
Mm-hmm. The sections of the film that take place in Macedonia are in rural landscapes. Where did you grow up in Macedonia?
I grew up in Skopje, which is the biggest urban area, the biggest city in Macedonia, which is something like, I don't know, 700,000 people now or mm-hmm. thereabout. So working on the film and scouting for locations was, for me, a way of discovering the country where I grew up. So all of the landscapes you see in the film are as new and as interesting to me as they would be to, I guess, someone who grew up in London.
Mm-hmm.
I just never bothered with the countryside. I spent my time in the city. I had a mohawk when I was a teenager.
Oh, really? to somebody who's never been there before, what is Skopje like?
Well, it's like any capital city of a developing ex-communist third world southern European country.
Go on.
Well, it has its share of high rises, its share of slums, and in this case, gypsies who live in the slums. There were people who asked why we didn't see any Mercedes or BMW cars in the film, since there is quite a few of them around Skopje. And then we decided that it just wasn't a film about Mercedes and BMW cars.
Mm-hmm. Before you made Before the Rain, you made some music videos. One of them was Tennessee for the group Arrested Development, which won an MTV award and a Billboard award in 1992. I'm learning, what did you learn from making videos that you put into feature films?
Well, I learned to be efficient in pragmatic terms, meaning in dealing with your time and your budget and your crew, and also to be efficient in terms of what you're saying, what you have in your frame, how much story you can tell without using dialogue. So I entered music videos hoping that they would be a great ground to make experimental films. I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But out of it, I learned all of this very useful, both pragmatic and creative stuff.
Why couldn't you make the films that you wanted to with music?
The experimental films?
Yeah.
Because it's basically a commercial medium, and it's about whether the act, the singer, the band look good or not. It's not about the abstract shapes you want to show or the story you want to tell.
You live in New York now?
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah. Well, I have for the last almost 10 years.
Uh-huh. And are you going back and forth now between Skopje and New York?
Yeah, it's a long commute.
Uh-huh. How long?
I don't know, a few thousand miles.
Uh-huh. And how's that working out? I mean, do you go into culture shock each way, and besides jet lag?
Actually, it's quite good because when I get back here, I'm really happy. I'm in New York. I feel like I'm back home. And the same thing happens when I go back to Macedonia. So it's like a double whammy. it's good, but it's not practical and it's not going to last.
So you will have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And do you know what you're going to choose?
Not yet. I don't know.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Very, very welcome.
Milcho Manchevsky directed the new film Before the Rain. It's one of the Oscar nominees for Best Foreign Film. He spoke with Fresh Air producer Naomi Person. This is Fresh Air.